Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, G-H-O-S-T, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019, at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what should be a normal afternoon after school turns into anything but. Was a plastic doll under the control of a dark force, or was a person under the influence of too many horror movies? And the perfect house for one couple turns into a nightmare they cannot escape.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our program by becoming an extra podcast person. And with that, you get gifts. You get extra podcast people episodes, EPP episodes, brand new ones every single week. At ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go public and a whole bunch of extra other stuff as well. It's all a part of keeping this thing on the air. $5 a month to become an EPP extra podcast person up there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day, Carol?
You know, I'm okay, Tony.
That's good. I was I was hoping you weren't going to be like, well, you know, pretty shitty. But anyway.
Well, actually, you know, kind of you're right.
It's sometimes you can just say it. You can just go out and say it's I'm doing shitty. And people will be like, finally, honesty.
I've had like a kind of shitty past week, actually.
You have. And we didn't get a chance to touch on it much last week. But go ahead. Go off. This is your platform. This is your radio station to call those things, those people, whatever you want without FCC restrictions.
Because I did talk about it on the air one day and I'm like, the things I would like to say, I can't say.
Now you can.
But a week ago today, I really won't say what I called them in all my text messages.
Yes, you can.
My
people. Do it.
No, I can't. I just can't. It had M and F in it. But I had my house broke into. Mm-hmm. Middle of the day, they literally kicked in the front door. And they stole TVs, in a microwave. I have vision of them running down the street with a microwave, but I think they just pulled up and just put everything in the back of a SUV.
Yeah.
And then, and two laptops. And my dog's medication, my 13-and-a-half-year-old dog, his $100 a month medication that I had just gotten for him. They stole it. But here's the thing. I'd had some dental work done, a dental implant, so I had oxycodone in my drawer, and mm-hmm. they didn't take that. And on top of the old laptop they stole, on my dresser, I had a bottle of liquid hydrocodone they'd given me for that strep throat that I had.
Uh-huh.
They didn't take that, but they took my dog's medication.
Just in case they happen to be a 13-year-old dog, they're right. good. Then they got what they need. Yeah.
Then they took one TV and left the power cord. That just pisses me off because now, you know, that TV just got thrown away.
Yeah.
It's like, really, you broke in my house and now you're just going to throw away what you stole. Because I'm sure for them, it would just be easier to go steal another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then actually have to pay for a power cord for that television.
Sure.
Yeah. It was pretty crappy.
That
and then
sucks.
They hurt my dog. Like, that's because
yeah.
all the robbery stuff's bad enough, but mm-hmm. when they hurt my pets,
yeah.
that made me mad.
Well, why don't you expound upon that so people don't think like the dogs are dead or anything?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Thank you. They traumatized my cats.
Sure.
They were scared. But my dog is 13-and-a-half and has a torn ACL, and he re-injured it while he's running around my house to get away from the robbers.
Yeah.
So, and that had taken like 3 months to get where he was. And now we're kind of back at square one.
Yeah.
That was shitty. That was shitty.
All just for
other
a couple,
than that, everything's yeah. awesome.
Everything is awesome. Everything is grand. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, obviously I've known about this now for a while, but yeah, granted, you know, stuff can be replaced, but the thing is, it's just the psychological end of that is what I think is the shittiest. It's just, you know, just that feeling. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but my God.
I will say this though, because it was a week where I saw the worst in people and the best in people.
Yeah.
And people like you, you're like, hey, I'll send you a Chromebook so we can do podcasts. And I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And I got a Chromebook. And then somebody else is like, I've got a security system sitting around my house.
Sure.
Okay. And, you know, so like some people did some really incredibly nice things too.
And sometimes you need that because you're just like, yeah. Fuck people.
You know? That's kind of how I was feeling for about 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just the way people stepped up was really kind. I had somebody send me a $100 bill to replace Buddy's medicine.
That's nice.
I know. It was just so sweet. So, yeah, it was a kind of an interesting week, the best and the worst at the same time.
Yeah. It's a shame your house, the ghosts in the house didn't decide to come out and make an appearance. But your house isn't haunted.
As you know, my house is not haunted.
Maybe that's why they didn't take the power cord and the other stuff that they left. Maybe those things did make an appearance at some point. And they're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. We got enough. Let's go.
Maybe that was it. Like they went through my bedroom and they just like took everything out of drawers and just threw it everywhere. Yeah. That to me was just disgusting.
Sure.
Like, you touched my stuff.
Yeah.
It's bad enough stealing my TV, but you touched my things. My personal stuff.
You're going to wash everything and just...
Oh, yeah. Everything. Yeah, then I had a mountain of clothes in the basement by the washer, and then I accidentally knocked over an open bottle of Clorox. So, a bunch of clothes had to get thrown away.
Just keeps going.
I turned around, yeah. I was like, of course I just did that.
Yeah.
Of course. So anyway, this week's okay. Looking up.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm glad that, you know, it's, you know, looking up, and that just sucks. But it will get better. Things will get better. And,
thanks for the Chromebook. It's really amazing.
Sure.
I love it.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Thank you.
All right. Back to the stories in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Zip Recruiter. If you are in the position of hiring individuals, you know that it is not the easiest task. One would think from a distance, oh, yes, This should be great. There's lots of people ready and qualified for every job. Not true. Not true. Hiring used to be hard. Yes. It doesn't have to be that way. Hiring can now be simple when you use ZipRecruiter. It's like putting a cheat code into a video game is how I kind of look at it. Back at like Nintendo, up, down, down, left, right, B-A-B-A, select, start, that sort of thing. Did I say that one right? Anyway, ZipRecruiter makes it absolutely easy. In fact, you can find out for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ghost and start this process. It's so simple. Here's what it does. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, okay? It doesn't stop there. So number one, you don't have to sit there and like go to 100 websites and spend 3 days posting. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and then finds people with the right experience that you're looking for and invites them to apply for your job. So it actively, it's like an octopus. It's out there. It's grabbing these people and sucking them in. Kind of. It's not really an octopus. It's more like a spider. Anyway, as applicants come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates that you may have never even have seen. Yes. So you never miss a great match. In fact, ZipRecruiter, they're so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the first day. Talk about time efficiency. And if you're in business, you know how important that is. Right now, you guys, my listeners, can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to this exclusive web address. You ready? ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Let's listen to some ghost stories about people being tormented in their homes by ghosts, not burglars.
Awesome. That's much better.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. And it says, hey, the story I'm about to tell you is truly a terrifying experience that has scarred me. When I was 14 years old, I was having a very typical day. I just got home from a long day at school. I was very relieved to be able to relax and play some video games. I set my backpack in the dining room and walked through the kitchen to the computer room. At this time, I was home alone with both parents working and siblings out at friends. I sit down to begin to log in and feel a sudden chill in the air. It made my hair stand on end, and so I look around suspiciously but find nothing. After a few minutes of surfing the web, I get on Facebook when suddenly the computer chair I'm in is forcefully pulled back and then tilted back while I'm still in it. At the angle I was at, I should have toppled over, but something was holding me there in place. From the force, my head whips back and I'm looking up when I see a shadow looking down at me. At that very second, I screamed and then the chair fell forward. With my heart racing so fast, I thought I would burst, and I looked back to the doorway and I saw something I'll never forget. Standing there was a tall man, about 6'4", maybe 6'6", staring at me. He was wearing an all-white suit with a white top hat and white umbrella. He was leaning on the umbrella like a cane in a suave kind of pose. The worst part was that no matter how hard I looked, I couldn't see his face. The only feature I could see was his long, blonde, greasy hair and this inhuman, stretched smile. It reminded me of the grin of the monster on the Disturbed album covers. After what seemed like hours, he turns, unfurls the umbrella, giving me one final look, and walks upstairs. Immediately, I called my dad and told him what happened, and I know it was paranormal and not a robber because of the bad feeling that I had, and I felt it before. My dad told me to pray and said he would head straight home to check on me. After the day had passed and night arrived, I was still startled. I don't remember when I fell asleep, but I finally drifted off. Around 3 a.m., I woke to a sudden freezing chill. My room was small and my door overlooked the stairs, which I always left open. Standing at the top of the stairs was the same sinister being, staring and smiling. He stood there for a while and just watched me as if harnessing my fear. I was paralyzed by fear, so I couldn't do anything. Eventually, he turned and walked down the stairs with his umbrella. I still can picture him walking and seeing the umbrella through the stair banister bobbing up and down as he went down. He visited me 3 more times before we had a priest bless the house. After that, I never saw him again. Still brings tears to my eyes when I think too deeply about it. I consider myself a very spiritual person because of other paranormal experiences that I've had. Nothing is truly as frightening as that. I've named him the Umbrella Man. I would do almost anything to never see him again, but somehow I get the feeling that he's still around. To this day, I still have sleep paralysis, but I'm visited by another entity every time, which I call the Hag. She either will appear as a female family member and act friendly before changing and trying to scare me, or appear as a grotesque witch-like thing. I believe they are somehow connected. The part that scares me the most, I've seen them awake and asleep, and my mom and brother have seen them as well. Anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I have lots more stories about the Hag that I'll have to share in the future. And this is where you then cue up the song Umbrella by Rihanna, and all of a sudden it's like, under my umbrella, Ella. But unfortunately, Ella. There's those BMI and RIA restrictions. We don't have licenses for that, so we can't do that. But
what the hell, though? Like that whole outfit.
Yeah.
Like, he's going through eternity with a freaking umbrella? That's so weird.
It's like the shadow people that have the top hats. There seems to be a lot of them that enjoy the top hat, and people see that as well. The umbrella is a new one. I don't know. I guess it's
maybe the shadow people convention. Like, everybody shows up with top hats, and everyone who doesn't have one, they're like, I want one.
Maybe.
Like, because we were talking one day about, like, the clothes that you die in, that's what you're in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he died in a rainstorm or something.
And you got the umbrella. I guess that's
kind
of convenient.
Or a music theater production of...
Singing in the Rain?
Singing in the Rain? That's just so strange. Especially to be... Like, those two... Because at first I thought you did not say Hag. I thought you had an F. I was like, what?
No.
But the Hag. Yeah. And then that guy, I'm like... They couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
So it almost like, how would they be connected? Because they seem like the descriptions are so different.
Yeah. What's interesting, because when they're bringing up the old Hag, immediately you think of sleep paralysis and people seeing that. That seems to be a very common thing that's seen. But then to say that they've seen it awake and asleep, and the mother's seen it, and the brother's seen it in those states as well, that takes it well beyond just a sleep paralysis experience.
Was there anything in that about them? Is that always happened in the same house, or have they moved and it followed them?
I have no idea. Everything that's there.
Because my guess is it's all the same house.
I would guess so.
I would move just to see. It'd be worth a shot.
And then when you move and it doesn't, like, okay, great, let's move back. That was fun. We want more of that.
Exactly.
Can we have our house back, please? Okay, sure. Which may be an
maybe
easy
just
sell.
Go stay with a friend for like 3 months. Just try it.
Just
see if anything happens.
Put the house at Airbnb for a little while and let somebody rent it out for a month or two, and then come back and just see what happens.
And then read their comments that they have to say.
Exactly.
Your rating would go in the crapper.
You know, I've never used Airbnb or any of that. I've looked on the website, but I've never actually booked anything or looked at the comments. I'm curious, anyone who has done that, this would be something, write in or shoot me an email or put it on Facebook or a group or something. Has anyone come across any comments on any of those sites for the home rental things that involve ghosts, where it's like, lovely beach home haunted by an old surfer or something, you know, something like
well,
that.
You know how I am about staying in hotels?
Yeah.
And so when we went to Rome at Christmas, we actually did Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way we could have, there's four of us, so we could have two bedrooms and a kitchen and a hangout area. And so I'm like, I just don't want it to be a really old building. So we get there, and it's a really old building. And I was so freaked out that it was going to be haunted.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was. Like our key to get into our apartment was literally, you know, like those skeleton keys?
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was a skeleton key. Who does that?
I guess people in Rome.
Who has a skeleton key? So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, great, this place is haunted because it has a skeleton key.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was.
I would almost be a little disappointed if I got there and there wasn't haunted. It just kind of goes along with the territory.
But there has to be haunted apartments. There have to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would definitely think so. I think your odds go up tremendously, especially when you have these apartments these days that have been converted over from sometimes old factories and things of that nature, like, you know, big lofts and stuff that were at one time, you know, kind of not great working conditions for several folks. You know, all the way to, you know, this was an old hotel that's now been sitting abandoned and now it's going to be an apartment. Just a lot of emotion goes into all of those sort of things. So I think you have...
Well, you know, here we have the Eaton... It used to be the Eaton Hotel.
Yeah.
And now they turned it into apartments. Mm-hmm. But originally on the first floor, they had a bar.
Yeah.
And Carrie Nation literally went in there with her axe.
Yeah.
And like chopped up some stuff. So I have a friend who lived in that building, and I'm like, I went over there one night, and the apartments are really cool. And I'm like, is it haunted? He's like, oh, yeah, it's haunted.
Yeah.
But he said it's only haunted to here, like this hallway. He goes, this area of the building, not haunted. My area is haunted.
Interesting. I've been in there once or twice, too, and it's a neat building. And I don't feel things, but I'm not a sensitive person, but I've heard many, not any detailed ghost stories, but where people are like, yep, it's haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love those old historic buildings because you always got, not only the architecture, but usually a dead person or two wandering the halls.
Okay. So this is crazy. We were sitting here talking about ghosts and my cat got into like this kind of shut door thing that I have right next to me. And it sounds like somebody is scratching at the inside of it, trying to get out.
And then you look over and the cat's on the other side of the room.
What is it? So I'm hoping it's my cat in there. I think it is.
Let's hope. Wait, oh wait, Rizzo's over there. It's not in the wall. There you go. 855.
She just came out. It was her in there.
Good. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Next letter says, hey, Tony, big fan of the scary stories. I am a big fan of horror movies. My story began when I was like 5 years old. We used to live in an old house. The house had a bathroom at the back of the house. I was the only kid and was surrounded by my family. The scary life thing started happening when my younger baby brother wanted a bottle. I went to go do it for him, and suddenly I was done with it and just twisting the nipple of the top when the back of the in the back of the house, which would be the bathroom, I heard a strange noise and saw a red light and heard a weird laugh. I just turned around and saw that I heard something and walked out. I was so scared and pale, I just turned off the kitchen light and paced as fast as I can. When I got there, I tripped and was still walking even while I was on the floor. After I saw that every bad thing started happening. The next thing was when I was like 12 years old. I was in the apartment there alone. I was making myself something to eat. My grandma and my aunt were living there with us. When I was in the kitchen, my little cousin had some marbles. Near my aunt's room door, I heard three marbles thrown near our living room table. It happened twice. The third time I got mad. I got the statues and threw them back in the room and closed the door and was trash talking to the spirit. The words I said to the spirit were, stop doing these things. If you are real, let me see you so I can believe you. Spirit never showed itself to me, though. Then when another aunt of mine was alone in the apartment, she came out of the room and was in the kitchen and was about to go into another room. She was about to close the door when she heard something or someone whistling to her. She paid no attention to it. She had the door open a crack when she heard another whistle, and she went to check it out. She later told us about it, and it was three times she heard the whistling, and the third time she went inside the room and closed the door and was praying. The third time, strange things started happening when my family and I moved to Lake Elsinore. My sister had a big plastic doll. The doll appeared to be possessed. Every time I go to my mom and dad's room, the doll was always facing me. Every time I'd go inside their room, she was turned towards me. And sometimes she'd be facing the window when I would be leaving. Then I'd go back and the doll would be facing the door as soon as I opened it. There, I also heard some noises when I was alone. The next thing that happened to me was recent. I became blind. I could still see shadows around where I live. There are, I believe, several spirits around me. I believe that if there is, my two grandfathers and uncle are with me. These spirits that are around me are very playful and nice to everybody there. My friend's dad, who died 2 years ago, he's also there with us. So I believe. So, Tony, can you say something? If I'm a believer or a skeptic, I'd be very curious. There's one more thing I need to tell you. I still see shadows and feel them. I sometimes, or even in my sleep, I can feel and hear people around me. I sometimes believe that they can hear my words. I'd love to hear your thoughts on my situation, Tanya. That's an interesting thing, especially where it comes to the point of developing the disability there, however that came on, of not being able to see, of going blind, but still sensing these things around you. It makes you kind of think about the situation of, okay, you know, that obviously would be very difficult to go through, but if you're seeing the shadow figures around you, maybe you'd stop seeing them, obviously, if your vision becomes impaired. Or does it make it worse because then you can sense them even more and even stronger, and you have less sense of exactly what it is around you as what you could have seen in the past?
The one thing that she said was, it sounded like after she went blind, what she felt around her was more the friend's dad, yeah, uncle, you know, so maybe she's sensing more positive spirits,
yeah,
which could be kind of comforting, I would think.
Yeah,
but that would be, it seems to me like it could be kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
but it also seems like you could even become more in tune with that side of you as well.
I wonder if that's what's happening. I mean, I'm kind of looking at it from the aspect of, would you rather go through the haunted house with a flashlight or completely in the dark? And it's almost like now they're completely in the dark. Does that make it better, or are they more in tune with the good and the bad?
It'd be interesting to get her on the phone and have a conversation.
It would be to hear what that is like.
Because I've never had really, you know, I don't have issues with vision. And so I never had really thought that through. That would be difficult.
Yeah, it's only one of those things that someone who's going through it can, I think, you know, share their version of it to fully understand what that would be like. Otherwise, we're just kind of guessing.
But then you and I, like, for most people, when we do sense something, it's not like we always see it.
True.
We sense it. So, yeah.
Interesting perspective. Thanks for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Still some tickets available for the August 11th live show at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. If you want to get one of those few remaining tickets, then get them now. Go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and click on the link there and get your tickets. Only $25 a piece. You can get there, and there's even some hotel deals. I believe there's still maybe a few rooms left that they're offering for that. You can call the Crescent and find out all about that. Lots of lodging options in Eureka Springs, so if they are sold out, I'm sure you can find a place to stay. It's going to be a fun night. We'll do an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and then a live episode of The Grave Talks. We'll be talking with Keith Scales, who is the resident paranormal investigator and historian of the Crescent. We're going to talk all about everything that's going on with that building from the past to the present. Present being, you may have seen, and I have not even seen it. I've not watched this episode, but the premiere episode this season of Ghost Adventures was actually at the Crescent. And they're talking, from what I understand, a lot about the bottles of the miracle cure that they've unearthed behind the hotel and the little museum that they've set up there. So we'll talk all about that. There's a whole other chapter.
That'll be a fascinating weekend, because not only all that, but you're staying in that hotel.
Yeah.
I think that's such a great idea.
Can we do shots of the miracle cure? Because I know some of those bottles were like somewhat filled still. God knows. Maybe that's how we'll go blind, is taking the miracle cure and like, oh, shit. Well, there we go. Now we'll figure this out. But it's going to be interesting to hear about that chapter, because I had Keith on the Grave Talks about a year ago. And it was very interesting. But that was prior to them discovering all those bottles. So I'm really I'm interested to hear if that stirred anything up, or what it's been like since.
And the cool thing is that you can do that and stay in that hotel which is amazing.
Yeah.
Google it. But then the whole town itself is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be an amazing weekend.
It's a great town. My suggestion, if it were me going to check this out, you know, get there Friday night, get there Saturday night, and then, you know, spend a couple nights there, go around the town, make Sunday night our show night, and just enjoy your time in that town. There's so many things to see and do. And that downtown is one of a kind. So many cool shops. I believe there's a ghost tour that goes on downtown as well. There's just tons of stuff to do.
Then if you need some religion, they got that too.
You got everything. Everything
they
is
really
there.
They really do.
So
they got that whole, what is that place that they kind of reenact? Like, it's kind of like Jesus Town.
I don't even know what you're talking. No, I don't even know.
They have this whole, it's really strange. When I took my dog on vacation to Eureka Springs, and we drove up in there. And so they've kind of built like Bethlehem. It's a city.
Really?
And they have this really ginormous Jesus statue.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And they do like, I don't know if it's a passion play or something like that.
Wow.
But it's quite amazing.
So you can go there, get your ghost on, and then get an exorcism or something.
All in the same weekend.
All in one weekend. Who would have thought you could do such a thing? So there you go. Tickets, $25. Real Ghost Stories online to check all that out. It's going to be a fun time. Hard to believe. I mean, August is not far away. So be a good weekend. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our next letter. It says, I have a very long story. It spans 6 years so far and is still carrying on to this day. I'm not sure that I can get everything in at once, so I'll try and do my best. When things started, I didn't keep an excellent record, but I've actually saved a detailed journal for some time now. This will seem a bit scattered at first, but I'll try to have it make some sense for you. I need to give you some background. Ronnie is my husband's older brother and very much the black sheep of the family, so much so that most of them won't even acknowledge that he was part of the family. Sadly enough, even his parents, he had caused him a lot of grief when he was young. You could find all kinds of reasons why he was the way he was today. With all the titles they have, such as ADD, and I'm sure his case is ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. He has a higher than average IQ, but never had any help with things. He was a fabulous guy, help you with anything, but always had some kind of scheme going on in the background. Never to involve any of us in any way. My family was the closest to him and his family. We, my hubby, let bygones be, and I never knew him in his really troublesome days. To me, he was just a really good-natured guy who was always ready to laugh and tease. Ronnie, known as Uncle Rocky to my kids, was a fantastic uncle. The uncle you were always happy to see. They loved him dearly, and he was always around them. He was killed in a stupid car accident in 2000, just a few weeks before we were due to move there. Just a few weeks before his birthday. We had plans of moving back up here from the north, and Ronnie was really excited and said he knew exactly where our house was. He walked by every weekend on his way to the local flea market. I looked forward to early morning coffee visits while he was passing by. When he died, we were so in shock. We couldn't believe it. Everyone who came to his funeral said, oh, the famous Gary and the family. He was really looking forward to you moving down. Even cops who had arrested him had shown up at his funeral. That's how likable he was. My kids always had a really close bond with him, especially my oldest. He could almost read his mind or mind when it came to Uncle Rocky. This already was a pretty long, but I felt you needed to know a little background. Things started to happen right after we got there, after he passed. I sort of didn't make a connection right away, but now I think I have answers down pat. One of the first things I noticed was my youngest son's closet. It was very sticky, and you really had to give it a jerk to open it, except during the day when he was at school. I'd always find it open, then I would close it. Little fellow was afraid of the monsters that he might have in there. Then every night I'd find myself having to close it again because it would be open. He'd always call me in at bedtime to close it. We also had the regular phone calls where there would simply be a dead line, no matter if it rang once or 10 times. Then there were the calls that just had a dial tone, lots of them. This went on for months and months. It still happens to this day. Just today, as a matter of fact. It's really settled down, though. In the evening after dark, I'd see this green ribbon of light traveling across the back of the yard, back and forth, swoops and arcs. Then, in the daylight, it'd be shadows doing the same. The thing was, the back of the yard is a shadow all day and all night. This happens a lot for a year or so, and then it eased off. Maybe I just didn't notice it anymore. In the house, I often see shadows cross the door frames. I can stop and sort of look, but when I look at them, they're gone. Usually happens when I'm alone, and very often. A few times, at least three, when my husband and I have gone away in the morning. We've been a little late coming home from my boys' lunch hour. We would be worried about them having to be outside and worrying about us, and each time they were in the house, we'd ask how they got in, and they'd tell us the back door was open. After the first time, we'd make absolutely certain the back door deadbolt was locked, and yet they would still be in the house. It seemed Uncle Rocky would be looking out for them, making sure they were safe. When my husband was in high school, he made a sort of grandfather clock and hung it on the wall. It was a very tight latch, and you'd have to use two hands to open and wind it. For the longest time, it'd be open at least every other day. This was weird. This goes along with a couple of other clock stories I have to tell. I think I should have some time to share those in another letter. Next time, you'll know the history, and I'll tell you a lot of other things that have happened over the years. You'll see why I'm a firm believer. I just thought it was time to share some of this, and I hope you've enjoyed reading this, and I'll share the rest on another episode of your program. So, yeah, without there being anything kind of dark happening, and with this being some of the first seemingly paranormal things that were happening with this family, I would probably lean to believe that it was probably the uncle. It's kind of being around and trying to be helpful in their own way.
And that's exactly what everybody wants.
Yeah.
Is that kind of guardian angel spirit?
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody wants. We don't all get that. But like, to me, I think that's sweet. And especially if he had a point in his life where he really wasn't a great person. And it's kind of his way to make amends and help. Like, I love that the kids come home and the door's open, even though it was locked. Now, as long as it's for the kids and not for the robbers.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter. They can kick your door in anyway.
That's true.
Which I thought was just on movies, but apparently it happens in real life. But I think that's sweet. Then the kids don't have to wait outside. I mean, that's kind of what you want.
And this is one of those.
And especially that connection when somebody dies, because you sort of want to feel connected to them still, and then they're gone.
I think this is one of those cases, too, where it's, you know, when someone passes and if you start having paranormal activity, the assumption is quite often, oh, it's that dead person. And I think many times it's not, especially when you get into the nitty gritty of the story. But this one, I actually think it is. It's probably the dead person. It's kind of cut and dry.
And I think, too, when people die, that overwhelming grief when it's someone who's really close to you, I think sometimes you do kind of get open.
Mm-hmm.
To that, I don't know exactly how or why, but I think that desperate need to connect,
yeah,
just kind of opens you to it.
Sometimes maybe even draws them in. It's because they know that you need that, and they're going to try and do whatever they can to comfort, just as they may try and comfort if they were alive. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, the number. Next letter says, Kirtner Road in Pueblo is the place to be on Halloween night. Everyone goes there, freaks each other out, goes home, and gets drunk. That's all there is to do in Pueblo, according to this letter. But on any other night, it's just a regular road with regular houses. One morning at around 1 a.m., my cousin Matt and I were goofing around after hours, thinking we were cool. We drove by the old Courtney house. It was really scary. I had been past it a few times, but I'd never really looked at it. It's burnt down, half of it's gone, but the basement still there. Matt parked the car. He turned off all the lights and told the story. Old man Courtney lived there with his wife and kids. He was a member of the KKK, and he would kill African Americans in his basement. One day, he went crazy and killed his dog. When his wife asked him about it, he chased her through the woods around their house. Finally, he caught up with her and shot her. He shot his son, too, but the daughter, he hung her in a tree so people driving by could see her. I could feel shivers, and I told Matt to drive the car. He took off slowly. He glanced in the mirror to see cars behind us. He hit the brakes and smacked the rearview mirror. He looked at me and then kept driving. Nothing was said. It was too scary for both of us. I glanced up in the mirror and saw the scariest face looking at me from the back seat. I turned to the back seat and it was gone. Matt kept driving. We were way too afraid to tell each other what we saw. We drove a little further. We saw a little girl walking across the street in a light pink dress. I started to scream and Matt swerved so he wouldn't hit her. We wrecked right in front of the tree that Courtney hung his daughter in. I checked the gas gauges before I passed out. They were flying from 20 to 90 back and forth. Matt was flying around the entire car. I had my seatbelt. For some reason, it unbuckled and hit me in the face just before I hit my head on the dash. I could swear I'd seen Courtney. I knew it was him, standing in front of the car. Our car jolted and I was knocked out. When I woke up, Matt was sitting motionless in the driver's seat. I asked how long I'd been out, and he said only a few minutes, he said. He got out of the car to check the damage. We had hit an electric fence. The two barbed wire fences and a tree. The car had barely any damage. We were about to back the car out when the back end lifted up. Matt got out and went to check what we were stuck on, and nothing. We drove home. A few nights later, we had to prove to our friends that the Courtner stories weren't just stories. They were real. Matt was in the back seat with his friends, Trent and Clint, and my friend Jennifer was up front with me. I pulled the car up to the entrance of the house, shut it off just like Matt did. We planned to go in the basement, but when we all got out, Matt didn't. We thought at first that he was scared, but his door wouldn't open. We pulled on the lock with pliers and tried to pry the door open, but it would not budge. Finally, we all decided to get back in the car. We drove a little way down the road and saw a little girl, Courtney, in the rearview mirror. Jennifer saw him out of the side of her mirror, too. He stood there watching us in the middle of the road behind our car. I didn't want to scare Matt. He was already shaken up. A little while later, my seatbelt tightened, too. I didn't just pull. It tightened so hard that my seat got knocked backwards. I started to cry and threw the seatbelt off me. We couldn't believe it. We finally get back to the South Road. We went to take Trent, Clint, and Matt home. We got out. We saw from the outside of the back window. Matt and Courtney. Courtney Road. Ever since that night, if anyone mentions that road, Matt can't see out of his left eye, and I seem to get a bloody nose every time. Never again will Courtney be viewed as a party place on Halloween. It wants me and my cousin to go back and never come home, or so we think. That's interesting. That's one of those urban legend stories that almost has an urban legend account attached to it, the way it sounded.
Yeah, because what the hell? Like, that's like the worst person ever in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And then, that's what I never get. Like, that's when I always get skeptical. It is because when you had that horrific experience, then you have to go back and prove it to other people. Who would do that?
I don't know.
I suppose there are people who would, but like, no way.
I suppose if you're like a 16-year-old boy and it's like, holy shit, that was horrible. Let's go show our friends. You know, just that sheer lack of sense and just all testosterone flowing through your brain and going, I'm going to do this and nothing can stop me. And, you know, I would think
you might have a point with that, because teenagers, then your buddy's like, we're going to go and show it to. And then the other guys are like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then if you don't go, you're judged.
Exactly. I think
so. Maybe you go because of peer pressure, but still, it's idiotic.
It is. So it's hard to know. You know, I'm not here to judge if the story is real or not, but it certainly sounds like one hell of an urban legend, at least that it's based on. For that house, it makes you wonder. I'm always curious about urban legends and what is the truth to the stories, because there's usually some smidge of it that is based in reality, and then a lot of hearsay.
That's like a really big asshole ghost.
You think?
Yeah, that was an asshole. Yeah.
Creepy one. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Do appreciate it. Our number is 855-853-4802 here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Like I said earlier, tickets still available for the August 11th show. Few of them left. If you want some of the last seats in the house for the Crescent Hotel, get them at realghoststoriesonline.com. Podcast.com. And of course, if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com. $5 a month for that option, or you can do the yearly option at ghostpodcast.com. We'll get you that USB drive sent over to you with more than 10 hours of material on there, an exclusive episode, as well as that Richard in Chattanooga episode with a brand new audio that's never been heard before. So really cool episode there. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com, for the yearly option to get all of that. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.